with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you so much for the ability to just not go to hell when we die. Not the ability, Lord, but the fact that you've saved us from that. We don't have any ability in and of ourselves other than to say, Lord, would you be my Savior? And yet, once you get done saving us, you don't just save us to hang out until such time as we die and then go to heaven. But you've left us here. And you've given us, if we'll listen, you've given us a purpose, a real purpose other than just existing and one day dying. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to have hearts to hear you today and to seek your face and seek your direction and love you with all of our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to keep this short because Brother Corey's going to be speaking too, and I'm sure he wants to say something before he has to go out and hit the snow again. He might preach all night just waiting for the snow to melt. So it might be a long one, right, brother? What I want to talk to you about tonight is the greatest gift you can give God. The greatest gift that you can give God. A couple of years ago, we did a Christmas program, The Greatest Gift. Do you know I've directed that program 3 different times now? I have grown old with that program. And what it was, and really what it is the greatest gift that's ever been given to anybody is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul and mine. You and I don't deserve it. And you and I can never pay back the debt we owe. Which is why God makes it a gift. He knows you can't pay it back. But once you get saved, you have a new life. Old things have passed away. And you now have a new life that you can do something with. And this is the beauty of it is, God gives you the freedom to decide what to do with your new life. Amen. So the very first thing you can do is make sure that Christ didn't die in vain. And get saved. Get saved. Get a home in heaven. And that gives God another child to spend eternity with. But then, like Brother Gift says, when you got saved, you didn't get smart. You didn't suddenly get all kinds of brains. You lived your life before you got saved, before I got saved. We lived our lives without God's direction. Now, we might have been in a home where there was a godly home and you went to church and maybe even read your Bible and picked up and did some of the things that saved people do, but you still didn't truly have God's direction until you get saved. But when you get saved, you don't suddenly get all kinds of smarts. However, you do get access.
Amen.
You get access. And I want to talk about your heart. You and I, we talk about giving our hearts to Jesus and we get saved, but you know, a lot of times we still don't really give our heart completely over to the Lord. You know this, and I know this. If you pay attention to your life, there are times when you don't do what God wants you to do. Or there are times when you do what you know God doesn't want you to do. Right? And either one of those is sin. Why? Because you're contrary to God.
Right.
So let's talk about your heart and giving it to God. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I can't find Samuel. That's New Testament, right?
Yep.
1 Samuel chapter 16. It was here earlier. 1 Samuel chapter 16. In verse 7, Saul has been king. Saul has been rejected from being king. God said, sends Samuel to the house of Jesse and says, I want you to choose one of his boys to be the next king. And he looks at the oldest, who's the tallest, and goodly to look to. Look at verse 6. And it says, it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. This makes me comforted. Because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, we know that he's about to select David as king. Look over at 1 Kings chapter 14. In 1 Kings chapter 14, God is angry with another king. And he says this in verse 8. 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 8, it says, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it these, talking to Jeroboam. And he's saying, you're in trouble. He says, because I gave most of Israel to you. And in verse 8 it says, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee. And yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes. Listen, David was a man who followed God with all of his heart. Now David sinned. We know David sinned. David made some dumb decisions, not just Bathsheba, but he made a few other bad decisions as well. But you know what? He still, as a rule, served God with all of his heart. You and I need to follow God with all of our heart. As we do so, we will also learn to trust Him with all of our heart. Psalm 28. Somebody who becomes a leader does not become a leader. A true leader is not made because somebody says, boom, you're a leader. Just because someone puts their stamp of approval on you and says, okay, now you're going to manage this business, that doesn't mean you know what you're doing as manager. A captain of a ship doesn't get to be a captain because somebody said, you're a captain. What happens? He works his way up the chain. He works his way up. He earns the trust of his superiors. He also learns the trust of his inferiors. And I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but those who are under him, he earns their trust. And they will sometimes he will have to make decisions. He may have to make decisions that may seem detrimental, and somebody's going to have to learn to trust him. We need to learn to trust God because some of the things he has us do don't make sense to us because we don't think like he does. Psalm 28 and verse 7 says this, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth and with my song will I praise him. Listen, folks, we can learn to trust God. And when you learn to trust God, you may not see the outcome right away, and you may not see the blessing of doing so right at the moment, but down the line, if you pay attention, you will see where God was working everything out for your benefit. And think about this. Every now and then, there's a situation that you look at the situation from a human perspective. Nate Saint, Jim Elliott, and the other three men that went down, they were missionaries. They worked all of their... Excuse me, I'm about to choke here. They worked all of their young lives to become missionaries and to witness. And they won souls and they loved people and they loved God and they wanted to serve God with all of their heart. God calls them to the Aka Indians. Second contact, all five of them die.
Yep.
Man, you just don't see the benefit. From our perspective, you don't see the benefit. And yet Elizabeth Elliot and the other ladies, they went down and met the Aka Indians and were able to win those very same people to the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Now, can I tell you something? Nate Saint and Jim Elliot weren't there when those people got saved.
Yeah, right.
But Nate Saint and Jim Elliot and those other three men, that all goes on their account.
Amen.
I mean, they're not even alive, and now all these souls are getting saved. That goes on their account.
Amen.
You may not live to see the benefit. But in heaven, we'll see all of the benefit. Trust the Lord with all your heart. He will bless you. It's interesting that we were looking at Psalm 119. Turn over there, Psalm 119. And we were working right from the patch where I'm going to be working. Psalm 119. I guess 109 won't do it, will it? It's a good psalm. Not fitting this message very good. Psalm 119. Folks, seek God's face. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Listen, folks, you can seek God with your whole heart. You know, He will be found of you if you seek Him. He will also help you.
Amen.
But sometimes He makes you work for it a little bit. That's why you have to seek. Look at verse 11. Here's another thing that you can do with your heart for God. Now listen, we're talking about giving your heart to God. This is not the salvation part. This is the part where we put our salvation into action. Verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. I struggle with memorization. I really do. But I will tell you this, repetition, repetition, repetition. Use 3x5 cards to memorize scriptures. Read a passage over and over again. One of the benefits I get as an evangelist is I only have 7 messages, so I preach them over and over again. Get to know the verses. Okay? I get familiar with it. I know where to go. And that's important. By the way, I don't justify not memorizing. I work to memorize. I have to work at it. And when I dedicate my time to memorizing God's Word, you know what He does? He blesses it.
Amen.
He blesses it. And I actually remember things better. I even remember some of your names. Should after 3 years. It's been almost 3 years. Yeah. Yep. Proverbs chapter 4. Here's another thing you can do. Here's another thing you can do. Proverbs chapter 4. This will be a little bit longer section of Scripture, but let's read it. Verse 20 says, My son, attend to my words. Let me let you get there. Proverbs chapter 4. I'll give you a little more time to turn there. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Listen, listen, God's words are life and health to us. You say, well, what about Nate Saint and Jim Elliot and those guys? Listen, it was still life and health to them because their physical life was going to end one day.
Right.
I believe Jim Elliot was the one that said, he is a fool who gives up what he can have for all eternity in order to... I should have wrote that quote down. He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose. I think. Eternity is what we're talking about. Gaining souls for eternity. Listen, every soul you send to heaven because of your testimony is a soul you'll have for all of eternity. Every car you buy down here is going to be junk. Your house, it's going to be junk. Name the thing. It's going to be junk. Your own body, it's junk.
Yeah.
And if it's not yet, it will be. I'm not done with this. Verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. And here's the key to this part. You can keep your heart with all diligence for God. For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, but far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Established by who? God. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You know why? Because this guy's heart is not kept for God. It's not kept for God. Look back at Psalm 139. And that's the result for you and I as well. We wind up deceiving ourselves if we do not keep our heart alone for God. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. By the way, He already does. He's already got a bead on you. He knows exactly what you are. He knows exactly what you think. You know that's the one thing that Satan, I don't think, has. He might be able to read your expression and figure out what you're thinking. But you know, I don't know that Satan knows what you're thinking unless it comes out of your mouth. But God does.
Amen.
You know, your thought life, even your thought life is known by God. So, you know, when you have a bad thought, what you do is you go to God and say, God, I had a bad thought. Would you forgive me?
Amen.
Try me and know my thoughts. I guess it goes along with what I just said. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What's he saying? Help me to figure out where my sin is and get it out. Help me to clean up my act. And God needs to do the cleaning. Remember over in Isaiah chapter 6? God sends purging in the form of a burning coal to touch Isaiah's lips. And Isaiah isn't harmed. He's not harmed. God taking junk out of your life is not going to hurt you. It's not like losing your right arm or your left arm or something like that. This kind of purging does you good.
Amen.
And then Ezekiel chapter 11, and we're done. Actually, two more scriptures. One is Ezekiel 11, one's Ezekiel 36. We're Christians, but we live in this world. And because we live in this world, yeah, get Ezekiel 36 in one hand, Ezekiel 11 in the other. We'll go to Ezekiel 11 first. Because we live in this world, we're affected by this world. And sometimes we can get kind of a cold heart and a stony heart. We can kind of become cold to the things of God. We can kind of become cold to the unsaved that are around us, and we kind of just don't worry about them. Ezekiel 11, verse 19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances. And do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now look over at chapter 36. Isaiah 36, or Ezekiel 36, sorry. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Listen, folks. You and I, we need God to cleanse us.
Amen.
You can't do this on your own.
Right.
Even as a Christian. And what you've got to do is you've got to put your heart in God's hands and say, God, I need to change. And when I needed to change, even as a Christian, when I needed to change because I did not love the Lord like I should love the Lord, and I realized I didn't love Him, and I really didn't want things to change, but I realized that in order for me to not be in sin, I had to change. And I said, God, I don't want to change, but I know I must change, and I can't change this on my own. Would you change me? And He changed me. Look at verse 26. A new heart. I didn't get saved again. I never lost my salvation. I never lost my home in heaven. But my heart was not right with God, and I needed a new heart. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And when I prayed that prayer, when I put my life in the Lord's hands and said, Lord, I need to change and I can't do it, will you do it for me? You know what he said?
Sure thing.
Amen. Do you know that rejoices God? Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. I have to do that over again and over again and over again. The Apostle Paul said, he says, I die daily.
Right.
Yep. It's a daily thing. That's why you ought to start your day in this book and on your knees.
Amen.
Knee in a book and knees on the floor. That's the best way to start your day. Get the little devotional book we got in the back. Get the daily Bible reading in the back. Spend time with God and ask Him to change what needs to be changed. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for these folks and their patience. Lord, I pray for Brother Corey as he gets ready to speak. I pray that you bless his message. And I pray that you help us to have hearing ears and hearts that we might be changed for the better for you.